The last year has been a period of huge change for everyone. A global pandemic forces us to adapt and change to many new normals and to examine so many parts of our lives that we took for granted before. In the context of this type of change, it's fitting that we start taking a look at the role that we play in managing our own information and how we can empower ourselves in different ways to take an active part in things like our healthcare, our lifestyle, and our data. Imagine, for example, how things might be different in the future if we were faced with another situation like the recent pandemic. If we were able to actively take part in providing real-time information on things like symptoms and spread rates, and could help the decision makers plan much more accurate and effective strategies with a whole nation of individuals contributing to that information. Dr. Sam and the NewSL team have spent the last year working on an exciting project in this very field. In this episode of the podcast, he explains to me what type of system they've developed, how it was inspired, what it could mean for us as individuals and as a global community, and he announces some exciting news about a worldwide collaboration across many nations, a series of studies and research that will take us that much closer to realizing a sense of empowerment when it comes to our health. We've broken this podcast down into 10 short segments for a more convenient listening experience. This is part one. Enjoy. This is a podcast about finding answers to human questions, taking control, and feeling good. This is the Human Regeneration Project. Dr. Sam Van Eden, welcome back to the Human Regeneration Project.
Thank you, Dan. It's lovely to be back again and ready for action indeed.
Yeah, it's been a while. And just for context for people, we are continuing, not reviving, but continuing the Human Regeneration Project as a resource for people to be able to follow the journey of yourself and NewSL, all the projects you're involved in. And up until this point, it's been heavily focused on kind of the therapies and treatments that you offer in the clinic. But what we're actually going to discuss today is something very exciting and very progressive and very new. So what we have on the agenda for this conversation is going to be backed up by a lot of accompanying media. We will have some videos. We will have some, obviously, reference literature and a lot of different things that people can tap into in the coming weeks and months when they understand what this project is all about. But before we go any deeper, how are you, Dr. Sam?
I'm very well, thank you. And we just coming out of this COVID pandemic, and I trust and hope that we all be safe and good. And I'm very excited to share with my clients and the rest of the public some new developments as well to make life easier. About a year ago, when this pandemic hit, we were particularly, as health professionals, really, really taken aback by the intensity and particularly the scale to suddenly move from epidemic into a pandemic environment is shocking. These things you hear about when you're in medical school and you are taught about it, and you sit in a class and you go, yeah,
roll the ice.
That will never happen. Yeah. That will never happen. And here it is. Right. So we need to make it better. And a big part of the work that has been done by myself and my team over last year has been focusing on how can we avoid this? How can we avoid this ever happening again? And how can we, if it happens, how can we do it better?
Yeah.
So this is just our small contribution to the bigger picture, because I'm sure every healthcare worker thinks like me, that how can we do it? How did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of questions. And in the end, we realized we are so completely dependent on government and government advice, and suddenly there's a time when you realize maybe they don't have the answers. Maybe the contingency plans that was planned and millions spent on it to put those plans in place actually were not worth a lot.
Yeah.
So it is time that we think about these things differently and also embrace what we have around us.
100%. Yeah. Just before we launch right into this, to give a bit of backing to what you're saying, this message that you've just delivered there, you've given a little taster, is no different than everything else that we've ever discussed on this podcast in the clinic. It's about empowering people.
Exactly.
It's not about conspiracy theory and government and all this kind of stuff. It's about making sure that if and when something happens, whether that's a global pandemic or an individual health crisis, that the person and the people and we, the community, have power and influence and control and decision-making abilities, because realistically, that's what's going to make the difference in the long term. As again, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's your own health, if you have more information, more control, more decision-making power, and we don't rely on systems that generally are very macro and are not particularly micro, we don't have to rely on those systems too much, the outcome is probably going to be better. So just to put context on what you said there, and in case anybody's thinking, oh, what's the problem with government? What's the problem with organizations?
Yeah.
Nothing really, but it's about being a little bit more granular than that.
Well, the reality, if we look at the helicopter view about exactly what you mentioned there, you know, there's expectation that the government should solve this.
Should do everything for us.
Exactly. Yeah. That is where the disappointment comes in, when people and the anger the anxiety comes from, is born from, when people start to distrust or see, oh, well, this is not going to great. This guideline changed, that guideline changed. Which one is to it now, you know? So it is time that we look at what we have around us available, and how can we move to the micro environment where the person who is part and parcel of that pandemic can look after himself or herself and do it better or differently, right? That is really what this is about. The topic really entails the whole science of medical informatics. And if there's one thing that was very clear right from the beginning, as a matter of fact, when a pandemic was declared, the WHO, their first release was about the lack of data. Okay. And the fact that we are in the dark and governments have to make best guess decisions, but mainly based on experience of individuals or institutions, and that the lack of data was actually the biggest factor in this getting out of hand.
Yeah.
The fact that we couldn't predict, the fact that we couldn't build algorithms or predict accurately, if you make this decision, what is the effect going to be in week 2, 3, 4? So this is actually where medical informatics is playing a role. Medical informatics is the science of understanding medical information, medical related information. And this is really what the project is about.
Okay, perfect. And like we discussed earlier on, the context of this conversation is, it's very, very apt given, number one, a global pandemic, as you've just described, where information drives all decisions. And nowadays, we're very familiar with information in terms of the marketing machine and how our information is so valuable and all that kind of stuff. But from a medical perspective, this pandemic has just illustrated to us how important it is that we have a good system for managing and organizing that information, because it could have made things very, very different.
Yeah.
But also in the recent kind of issues with healthcare systems and hacks and data breaches and all that kind of stuff, this is also extremely relevant. So to kind of get into this topic, what exactly is it that we're talking about here? When you're talking about medical informatics, what this project that you're working on, what is it?
Yeah, good. So just a bit of background, because I don't think a lot of my clients and patients would know this other side of my career.
Which other side, Dr. Sam? I've lost count now at this stage.
I suppose the medical informatics side of it, right? So years ago in the 90s, I was very much instrumental in the design and development of the architecture for what possibly at its time was the first medical e-commerce system. And I developed the design and the architecture and the functional specifications for a ordering system. In Africa, where I worked, a lot of the rural doctors like myself are also dispensing. So you have to see the patient and then you write out the treatment that's necessary. The patient walk around to the desk and they are actually issued the medicine right there. There's no pharmacy.
Okay.
There's no shop. There's no big big shopping center where they would go, they will get it from the doctor. So can you imagine, we were a practice of five doctors in our practice, and you have five doctors prescribing and possibly seeing about 50 to 60 patients each. So that's all a day. And that is a huge amount of medicines that is handed over to the patient and explained and how to drink it, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you do with the management side on the back end of it? How do you replace that stock? And remember, we were about 4 hours away from our biggest city. So it's not just getting it from next door if you run out of something. You have to plan stock. You have to have it delivered. It comes by road, by gravel road even, you know. So the long and the short is I designed a system where the stock can be automatically replenished. Now, this sounds stupid today, but believe me, in the 90s, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where my journey with medical informatics started. So when the pandemic hit last year, I was very fortunate to have Walter and Werner around with me. Walter is an engineer. Werner is a quantitative finance specialist and also a software engineer. And I had Zelda with me for the project management. Vote is a doctor, and Arjali was doing the business side of it. So we had the opportunity to actually come together, and we started ground one or ground zero.
Ground zero, yeah.
design of what would be, what can be, and what is ideal to happen when a pandemic like this hits again.
Okay.
So we, for 3 months, actually went into a design study and did a huge amount of research to establish what is the current knowledge about pandemics, what is the current knowledge about managing current, and it was very clear very quickly that this knowledge actually existed, but was very little acted upon.
Thank you for listening to part one of this 10-part series. If you'd like any further information on the topics of this podcast, or if you'd like to get involved with the research project, please contact Dr. Sam's team on reception@newacell.com.